Seated. We do welcome you to our service tonight. We're glad you're here. I know some of you have come especially to see some of your family, these teens who have been in Peru, and as they would report to us of that ministry back here a few weeks ago. We're very thankful for each one of them, thankful for their willingness to go, thankful for the testimony that they were, the witness that they were. We look forward to hearing from them this evening and hearing the report of what God has done in their lives, as well as how God used them there in Peru. So we're glad to have you here tonight, and we welcome you to this special service together.
The shortest psalm in the Bible. Does anyone know? What is it? That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Right on. Good job. The shortest psalm in the Bible? Psalm 117. And yet it is a psalm that's packed full of truth here. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's an important little psalm for us, because once again, hundreds of years ago, yea, thousands of years ago here, there's an invitation to us as Gentiles to praise the Lord, to give him the glory that's due his name, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And from we, one group of Gentiles, to another down in Peru, had the opportunity to praise him, laud him, give him glory and due. We're the Christians in Action team, based upon 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love just in word or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So we're very thankful to give a presentation tonight, and we're going to give three testimonies at a time and sing some and just honor the Lord together.
I just wanted to start off saying thank you for letting us go to Peru, and it's really nice that all your prayers and everything. So I just wanted to say thank you. When I was chosen to go to Peru, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but now I can't even put it into words. When we first arrived in Arequipa, the first thing I noticed and was stunned at was how happy and caring and accepting all the people were. Though they seemed unfortunate, they graciously accepted us there instantly with open arms and open minds. Though most of them had nothing, they were willing to give us anything. When we settled into the orphanage, I immediately began to feel warmer inside. Even throughout the trip, I never felt like I was in a different country. We as a group became a lot closer almost immediately. I think I can say this for all of us, that we felt good about this journey from the start. Even at our young and identical ages, all we knew was that we wanted to be a testimony for this assembly of God anywhere and everywhere we could, starting right there in Peru. Our main goal on this trip was to spread the word of our Lord through our mime, testimonies, and singing. Whereas the mime, as most of you know, basically showed them the God created man has fallen into sin, God dies for them on this cross for his sins. Even in the poorest, shabbiest churches, all the people were the same, wonderful children of God. There was even a man at one point who sang a song from the bottom of his heart in their tribal language. That was pretty inspiring to watch. I'd like to give thanks to all of you and Steve and Debbie Douglas for all that they have done, including Jose and Bruno and Junior and April, which many of you may not know, but they have done so much for us on this trip, including you. They were great friends and great encouragement to the team. During our time there, Steve had lessons for us every day to remind us how important this trip was, especially in the difference in the time when it came to perspectives of church in the eyes of the public. He told us that it was our duty to spread more awareness among people, mainly people who've never had the opportunity to hear about the Lord in the other cases. If it weren't performing at a church or school, we were handing out pamphlets to the local community there. Inside the pamphlets were simple things such as information about the church, how someone who isn't saved can be saved, and advertising our appearance at the church. The coolest thing about doing this was that every single person took a pamphlet and read it as they walked by. Now, flashback to our recent trip to Radiate and at Summit University. We did the same thing in our cities. People didn't put any effort into looking at them. Some may have, but it wasn't the same as what happened in Peru. Something small like that inspired me. One of the females in our group got to share the gospel with a stranger on the street while handing out the pamphlet. To this day, I don't know what was said or if the person really took it to heart, what she had to say, but hopefully God did great things for him. We didn't get to spend a lot of time with the orphans at the orphanage, but we made the best of what we could do for the long days that we had there. Most of our team went outside to play soccer with the kids, many making good friends and memories. The orphans had a loving, protective dog named Debbie. Though she did not take kindly to strangers, it was obvious that she had her loyalties to those who needed her most. The most inspiring things that I witnessed on this trip started when we visited our first school. It was a public school, one of the nicer ones. It was our first time performing. While we were doing our mime, I noticed a lot of kids getting into it. And when Pastor Mike gave a speech afterwards, it was dead silence. And when he asked personal questions, some nodded and some shook their heads along with him. Just seeing these young kids really taking this to heart was great, and it seemed like after that we were famous. For others, it was more of famous. Let's just say he was like a Justin Bieber kind of formed a fan group. They all crowded us, wanting pictures and signatures and friend requests on Facebook. But you see, that's not what it's all about. It's about God's glory, and we made him smile that day, and I know it. Another great day for me was when we visited the poorest school. It was very, very small. There wasn't that many children. But I think that they're the most adorable of them all. I wasn't doing the mime that day. I was doing the chalk drawing on the board for the first time. Everyone loved it, and of course they got to keep it, which made them happier. When we were finished, our team went out to play soccer with the children, all but a few. Of the few who stayed, there was this particular boy I played with there. Previously, we gave them chalk to just draw on the ground, and I stayed and played tic-tac-toe with one of them. When it was time to leave, he hugged my leg, and he wouldn't let go. And that was probably the hardest time. They really liked us. I got to share my testimony quite a few times overall. The first time I did, I was very nervous, but afterwards I felt very accomplished. A woman came up to me with her son and said that my testimony was beautiful and it was really inspired her. She told me to keep doing what you're doing and never give up, for God is good. They really stunned me. The last day we were at Peru, I told my testimony again, and this time I did it without notes. I just did it whatever came to my mind. When I was done, I had a lady come up to me afterwards and patted me on the back and said, "Great job, beautiful." She was a teacher. She just currently got off work, and one of her friends told her to come to that night to see us at church. At first, she wasn't going to because she had a long day, but decided to come anyway. She said that she was glad she did. She was going to use my testimony to tie into her lessons for the following day. Now that's pretty cool. We stood there for a good hour just talking about anything. She was nice. Also, we got a chance to share photos with our families and lives back at home. Everyone loved looking at all our photos. It was a great conversation starter. This one time, our team had some time to talk to the members after the service, and we got all our photos out and shared them. This particular boy seemed very fond of these photos. He was quite young to understand, but he enjoyed the attention. Let's just say he thought they were pretty tasty. With the week of being in Peru, I can very much say I was impacted by the people. As the days got closer to coming back home, I kept thinking to myself, how am I going to take this back home with me? How am I going to influence people like I did in Peru? Paul taught us a lot about missionaries and about the 1040 window. It's this place in the world where missionaries don't outreach to. That means over 2 billion people haven't heard about God. 2 billion. Church to church, school to school, street to street. With as many faces that we saw, I hope that our journey with them opened their eyes to the influence of God and his love. He is there, and he loves us no matter who we are or where we came from. I've been more open to sharing the gospel with my friends and family more. There was even a few times at work I told coworkers about my missionary trip, and I'm still improving. There's so many more people to outreach to. I just need to do it. We just need to do it. As Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible if you believe. Even if our trip only saved one person, it was worth it. It was truly an experience to never be forgot and never to be forgotten, and I'll pray that we will go again. Thank you.
I'd like to start off by thanking the church for everything that they've done, like prayers and everything that they've done while we were down there. And my story is kind of similar to Mitzi's. A lot of things are the same. First of all, Peru, a lot of areas of Arequipa are a lot poorer than you'll ever see around here, and that really hit me. It's crazy. Like when we had a bus tour one day, and Mike kind of mentioned it this morning, how it was a really poor, like one of the poorest areas we've ever seen, and somebody said that really we really need a church here, but that area didn't even have roofs on some of the houses, and that area in particular, that really struck me as something that it was just really moving. And but the people, though, in those poor areas, as opposed to here, those people in the poor areas, I think, were the most willing to come up and talk to you and take flyers. Like, they were just so nice. The one church we went to, they probably didn't have 2 pennies to pinch together. It was a very, very, very poor church. And it was really, really humbling to be able to go there. And they gave us food afterwards, and they came up to us and talked to us. And it was really touching. And all the nerves that we had, like how nervous we were to sing and do our testimonies, it was so worth it because everybody came up to us and thanked us, and we knew it really impacted them, and that was really cool. And just to know that they were listening, and when we went to some secular schools, and you could tell the kids were really into it. They were watching, and I can't imagine doing that here. That was a really awesome experience. And I just felt a lot of joy and satisfaction that we were actually having an impact, especially in the schools, because I didn't know how those kids had never heard the gospel before, and I didn't really know how they would react when we after we were doing our stuff. I didn't know if they were listening or not, but you could tell that they were really, really getting into it. And I learned that God works the same no matter where you are in the world. I didn't know how the people would be down there, but I didn't know what to expect because I'd never been to a foreign country before. But when I went down there, I realized that they were just the same as people around here. They might not have as much as us, but God works the same no matter where you are. And you could tell that it had an impact on those people just like it does here. I've learned to be more grateful after being on that trip, seeing how much I have and how much they don't have. And I'm like, wow, like, I don't know. It almost makes you feel guilty the way, just how rich they are in love and how rich we are in terms of financial means. It's crazy. It really makes you think when you have an experience like that. And I just want to encourage everybody. It doesn't have to be a foreign mission trip. Just have an impact in your own community where you are, and God just really worked on this trip, and it was so worth it. Thank you.
Hello. For those of you who don't know, my name is Nathan, And I was privileged by this church to go on this trip, and so I thank you. When Mike told us to write these things, he said to include things you saw, things you heard, and also things that you felt, like emotions afterwards. So I saw the guinea pig fried on my plate. I heard my stomach say no, and after I ate it, I felt regret. No, but seriously, I kind of wrote it out so I wouldn't have to go off the top of my mind. But when we arrived in Peru, I was very overwhelmed and quite excited. The airport at Lima was crowded and pretty big, and during our 8-hour layover, I realized right there that our mission here to Peru had started way before we even got there. It started in our hearts months, if not God's bowling. Beautiful weather. As I was saying, it started in our hearts months, if not years, even before we were dreaming of coming to Peru. God had been preparing us for this trip for a while, and now that we had made it to Peru, the game is on. This put me into a mindset of not doing anything for me, but doing everything there for Him. Later the next day, we arrived at the orphanage. We saw a bunch of kids and young adults roaming and minding their own business. These kids would be our neighbors for the next 10 days. And looking back at it now, it's a real shame that we never got to spend much time with them. We're all pretty excited to get to our new home for the next 10 days, but the excitement quickly went away as we realized how fast the altitude will affect you when you're trying to carry 50-pound suitcases up 3 flights of stairs. Nevertheless, our trip started off with us visiting the Vida Nueva Church and hearing about how they acquired the building through God's work and people's donations. The church is in a more economically opulent part of the city. The difference from the poor part of the city to the parts where Vida Nueva is located is quite noticeable. Through the city of Arequipa, we saw widespread poverty. We saw dogs roaming in the streets searching for food, homeless people, homes that were falling down, and street-side markets trying to sell vegetables to pay for their families. But above all this, we saw people who seemed like they didn't notice any of the turmoil around them. They were all just happy to be there. They were happy to be alive. That was one of the most noticeable and impacting things from this entire trip on me. How the people genuinely loved one another, except when they're driving their cars. A bit reckless. The Peruvian people are best described as friendly and loving. You meet girls with a kiss on the cheek and a hug, and you greet the men with a strong handshake. There's no awkward and shy, "Hi, how are you?" with them, because they're instantly your friend after you greet them. This made me feel very at home and welcomed in a country far different than my own. This has been one of the things that has changed my life the most since I've gotten home. Seeing how they stay open and caring to everyone has made me want to carry that same behavior back here in America, and I consciously try to put myself out there and be more friendly to people. Paul and Steve both gave messages on being missionaries. These messages helped me to realize that we don't need to go 5,000 miles away to spread God's word, and that there's a mission field right here in Pennsylvania. It took me having to travel halfway around the world to realize this, and I hope that my experience can help you all realize that as well. It's just as needed for us to reach our unsaved neighbors as it is to reach people in faraway lands. God tells us to go and make disciples, and sometimes all we really need to do in order for that to happen is walk out our front door and witness to the lost for Him. That's one of the main things God wanted me to learn from this trip, and I thank you all for supporting us and helping us go to Peru to win hearts for God.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Summer, and I thank you guys for praying for us while we're down in Peru and for all your support as we went down there. The first day we woke up in the orphanage that we were staying at in Arequipa, I was awoken by the sound of someone playing Fur Elise, if anyone knows what that is. I thought someone was playing it, but it turns out that was just the garbage truck. Apparently the garbage truck plays that song at 6 in the morning, every morning. That's just about when I fell in love with Peru. When we did our presentation in the ASA church, which is the church that we helped do the upstairs of, the people showed genuine interest, not just when we were doing our mime presentation and our testimonies, just everything that we did, they were interested in it. And that's just how Peru is. It's, the people really love you and they care about you and they're really interested in what you have to say. We did our picture albums that we did. We had to translate that, which was when I was forced to recall all of the Spanish I took. And I probably translated Carter's book about, 20 times. In that church, when they did the offering, there was a little boy. He really impacted me. He couldn't have been that old, maybe 5 or 6, but he just, once the offering was done and back up at the front, he just ran up the aisle and put a couple of coins in there. Just this little boy who really didn't have much to offer, but he gave what he had. One thing that really got to me while we were there was how even the poorest of churches, small, old, abandoned-looking buildings, had greater joy than anyone I've ever met in my life. Even the people who have everything here in America don't have the joy that these people have. We here in America argue whether or not the drums over there are biblical or if the piano should be on the left or right side of the church, while these people sit in an abandoned building which only has a roof over half of the church and are content and joyful with their guitar and their 10 to 15 chairs and people. Yes, I said chairs, not pews. And they just have so much joy and they praise the Lord and they love and honor him even though they don't have anything. And they offer all they have to the Lord. Just, it's inspiring and it makes me feel almost pathetic how little we give and how little we love here in America, and yet these people who have nothing are willing to give everything they have. So why can't we do that? We need to continue to pray for Peru and the people down there, and I thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Jesse Terblanche. First off, I'd like to thank you for all your thoughts and prayers and everything and support. It meant a lot to us while we were down there. And the church that the group came down a couple years ago, I forget the name of it, they did the work on. They send their greetings, and they wanted to thank you for everything. When we flew into Arequipa, Peru, the first thing that I noticed was Mount Misti looming in the background and the desert landscape all around us. My initial reaction to finally landing in Peru was anxiety because I was unsure of everything that was about to happen. Those emotions quickly disappeared once we met up with the Douglases and after performing our first program for the Vida Nueva youth group. One thing I noticed immediately about the Peruvian people, just from having met the youth group, was how friendly and hospitable they were. It was unbelievable. Like, no matter where we went, the people were incredibly generous and open to us, even though we had just met them. One of the stories that I heard while we were in Peru that demonstrates the generosity of the people was about a man we met named Elmer Palacio. Elmer Palacio owns a coffee shop in Arequipa, and he attends the Vida Nueva Church. He had just recently started his business, and we got to see and hear Elmer's testimony. We got to his coffee shop, and I was surprised that there was no customers in his shop yet. And just then, Debbie Douglas had informed us that he opened an hour early just so we could hear his testimony and have breakfast there. Elmer had impacted me already, and I hadn't even heard his story yet. Elmer then explained to us how he had been in the army, but he hadn't enjoyed it because a lot of the stuff that went on was against his beliefs. He went on to say that after he had gotten saved, he wished to serve, so one thing led to another, and then he decided to open a coffee shop. The part that touched me the most is when he explained how once he finally gets his business off the ground, he wants to give 90% of his revenue to missions and missionaries on the field. His generosity and love for the Lord blew my mind. What I learned about God on our trip is that he can call us into the ministry at any time. It doesn't matter where we are in life, and I realize that most people are called into the ministry while they're serving God. I want to reflect this in my life by continuing to serve the Lord and listening to his calling. If he calls me into the ministry, then so be it. But if not, I will still be serving him wherever I am in my life. That's also what I would like to challenge others to do as well. Just because we aren't called to be missionaries abroad doesn't mean that we can't be servants in the situations we are in. If you are serving the Lord and he does call you into the missions field, then why not answer him like Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Thank you.
Hi. Just to make this clear, so don't get this asked later, I had guinea pig and it was good. Just make that clear. Some of the things I saw down in Peru were just, they have lots of llamas and alpacas. They're kind of like a fur thing down there. Like to wear them jackets and all that stuff. Big fans of soccer. Love that sport. For our main ministry down there, we were doing our mime at schools and churches. On one particular day at a school down there, after we did our mime skit for them, some students that go to the school were looking at the chalk drawing that we drew to help show what Pastor Mike was talking about to his preaching. They knew enough English to ask me what the chalk drawing was about. I told them the best I could that it shows how Jesus died on the cross. I just can't believe how I just didn't agree to go on this trip right away because it was just a testimony to me. It has definitely opened my eyes. I definitely learned that compared to Peru, it is such a blessing to have what I have here in the U.S. Like what Pastor Mike said this morning, some churches have these super tiny stages. Like, we were like squished. Like, you had to like take like two steps. And then you were just there for the scene for your mime. If I ever had a chance to go to another mission trip or Peru, I would definitely be on that. Even though we all had to cram into one van to get around in Peru, and really tired at one time, so it was worth to see God use the CIA, Christians in Action team, working in Peru and people's lives down there. I think in this trip, God was showing me that no matter where I go, his presence is everywhere. His love was definitely down there in Peru. You could just see it when they were singing. I thank the church for the support and everybody who offered me jobs for this trip. It was definitely worth it. Thank you.
We're going to interrupt the regular scheduled program for a couple announcements. I do remind you of what Lloyd mentioned this morning, and that is the Family Fun Day on August 8th. It's going to be down here at the Third Ward Playground, but we do need some help, and there is a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. If you can help man an inflatable or help with the games, or as Lloyd said, just be there to talk to the people that come. We need your help. We need as many of you there as possible. So please sign up. There's a number of places to sign, what you might be able to do, help with the food, whatever. We could certainly use your help. So that sign-up sheet is back on the Welcome Center. And then also, Lloyd mentioned the second Sunday Senior Solos dinner. They need some help there because some of the regular ones are not going to be here that Sunday. So if you could help, see Bev Douglas or Elaine D'Orazio, and they'll let you know what they can, how you can help in that way. That's on August the 9th. This coming Wednesday, I hope you noticed that in the bulletin this morning, but Gary Ingram is going to be here. He is from the Love and Truth Network. Their ministry is not limited to the homosexual and lesbian community, but they work a lot with that community, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in light of some of the Supreme Court case recently and just the aggressive nature of the homosexual agenda, we need to be reminded that they are sinners in need of Christ. And so Gary Ingram is going to come, and he's going to be speaking to us on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock during our regular midweek service. We need as many of you here as possible for that. We look forward to that time where he just shares with us his own testimony, which you'll want to hear. It's a great testimony of God's grace in his life, himself coming out of the gay community, and just how Christians showing love to him brought him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We encourage you to come. It'll be a great time together. Ushers, come and receive our offerings tonight. Father, again, we thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for the testimony of these teens, and we look forward to the remaining ones. We just ask, Father, that you would continue to burden their hearts as well as our own to be a faithful witness of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news of how we can have eternal life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I think our actual Peru trip started when we arrived in Lima. We had like a 7 or 8 hour layover, and it was great. It was really late at night or early in the morning, and we lined up our suitcases on the floor and we slept on them. I got really good sleep that night. But when we arrived in Arequipa, we arrived there around 7 or 8, I'd say. Steve hadn't arrived yet at the airport, so we went to the cafe that was in the airport, and most of us ordered hot drinks. I got hot cocoa, and it was white and lukewarm. Later that first day, after some frightening car rides on the maze of Arequipan roads, we arrived at Iglesia Bautista Vida Nueva, which translates as New Life Baptist Church, for their Grupo de Jóvenes, or youth group.
There we performed, mimed, played games, and talked with the other teens. Most didn't know good English, but they knew enough to be able to carry on a good conversation. Sunday, which happened to be Father's Day, we went back to Vida Nueva for their program. I was lucky to have Camila, who we met at the youth group, and who willingly translated for me since the program was obviously in Spanish. That same day, we went to the Asa Church. We performed the mime, and we also did the chalk drawing, Mitzi and I did, for the first time. During the trip, we had the chance to go to 4 schools. Some schools, we only had 20 minutes, but God only needs 20 minutes to change someone's life, so we were thankful for the time we had. The time we had in Peru also included a session almost every day. One that was probably the most memorable to me was about how there's so many people who haven't even heard the word or name Jesus before. And I got thinking that maybe one day I will have the opportunity to tell someone Jesus for the first time in their life. And I want to end by saying thank you for all your prayers and support on this trip. It meant a lot to us, and yeah, thank you.
Hola. That's about as much Spanish as I knew before, and I remember from the trip. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Hunter Randall, and I'm gracious to have been part of the team that went down to Arequipa, Peru. Having never been out of the country before, I was not only very, very tired once the plane landed, but also excited to be down there, because I was amazed and awestruck by the scenery that was down there. I especially love the mountains, because I'd never seen any mountains so beautiful and amazing before. In fact, when we left the airport to the orphanage, I couldn't stop staring at the window. It was so awesome. I didn't know what to expect once we got to the orphanage, but after seeing the kids and getting a chance to interact with them a little bit, I saw how cute and adorable they were, and I really wanted to take one home with me. Until I kind of realized that it'd probably be illegal to kind of smuggle one in your suitcase. Don't ever do that. Though I saw a lot in those 10 days I was there, nothing has ever stuck with me more than when we went to tour the city and seeing the poverty there that some of the Peruvian people live in, with their homes being nothing more than shacks, like right on top of each other. It touched me in many ways that I can't even describe. Yet I experienced great joy whenever I would interact with the Peruvian people at the churches, the schools, the orphanage, or just out passing out the tracts. And how patient and kind the Peruvian people were when I would try to unsuccessfully speak their language. Though the schools and churches ranged in size and attendance, I couldn't help but notice that, especially at the churches, they were grateful with what they had, even if their church was only one room with as many as 20 people or less that attended. But they were on fire for God, and their worship was very genuine and very heartfelt, and I had never experienced anything like that before. Though I heard many stories and wonderful lessons from Steve, Debbie, Bruno, Jose, Junior, April, everybody that was sort of our leaders down there. The one thing that stuck with me is after the first service at the Vida Nueva Church, after I gave my testimony for the first time, one of the Peruvian teenagers pulled me aside and started talking to me. We both couldn't barely speak each other's language, and the conversation barely lasted a few minutes. But he told me that he liked my testimony, and he could relate to what happened to me in it. It meant so much to me because he related to me, and I realized that I can make a difference down there, or to anybody. And if God has taught me anything on this trip, it's how to reach out to people and to get to know people better. Because naturally I'm an introvert and I don't really like talking to people a whole lot. That's not in my nature. But God showed me on this trip to be more open to people. And during one of the lessons that one of the leaders down there spoke, this quote stuck with me, and it was, "You need to be serving for God to call you." I realized that I can't I realize that I can't wait until God calls me in order to interact with people. I need to always keep doing it, and then he'll call me. I encourage each and every one of you to do that, because you never know when you can make a difference in somebody's life. Thank you, each and every one of you, for giving me the opportunity to come on this trip. I can never thank you enough, and for your prayers during our whole time we were down there. And I hope that God uses this to change my life forever.
So, hello. I'm Jean-Marc Terreblanche. So as we were preparing for the trip and then finally flying into Peru, I told myself to keep an open mind and to do my best for God and for our group. When we arrived, it was fairly early in the morning, and the feeling of a new day added to the excitement of a new and mysterious place. With Mount Misty being one of the first things I saw, it felt like a reminder from God that he is much, much bigger than that volcanic mountain and that he would be with us continually. It gave me peace. We jumped into everything fairly quickly, and that first night we did our mime and sang and spoke to the Vida Nueva youth group. Following our program, we were able to connect and hang out with the youth group. That was very powerful for me and our group as a whole as well. We saw how they were basically just like us, and even though there was a language barrier, it didn't stop us from bonding and becoming closer to other believers. We stayed busy for basically the whole trip and touched many people at various churches and schools. It was the final Sunday that really touched my heart. We were doing our program at the Bread of Life Church, and it was in one of the poorest areas we visited. Even though it was quite poor, the brothers and sisters were extremely generous. I was told a story about a flood that went through and damaged the church and the pastor and his family's home significantly. Honestly, however, rather than use their limited money and use their own money on their own home, they gave and worked on the church to be repaired first. That really hit home to me. In a time of struggle, they remained fully committed to God and his church. It really was an amazing example of giving your everything to God and trusting him to provide for your own needs. And all I felt like I gained just as much as I had given. God had showed me his vast and unending power, how his hand is in everything, and that to trust in him gives true peace. I feel that I have definitely grown more spiritually and try to think of ways that I can serve him. If there's one thing I would say to my fellow believers and brothers and sisters in Christ, is to serve him at every chance you get. Stay creative, stay positive, and trust God to do his work through you. And we also must not forget to continue growing ourselves. And thank you for all your prayers and just everything you did for us as well.
Thank you. Hola. That's also all I remember from Peru. I'm kind of winging this. I didn't write anything down, so that's my fault. Just as I think back through the trip, Rachel and I were down there as, I guess chaperones for the kids, but, we really didn't feel like we had to be chaperones that much. I mean, they did a great job. We really didn't have any problems with them. There's a story. Anyway, it was a great trip. The kids did awesome. And, while I was down there, it was very eye-opening for me, and God worked on me way more than I ever expected him to. I went down there with, the idea that I'm just going to be down there to be crowd control and, keep the kids out of trouble. But the more I talked to people down there, I mean, it was incredible. A lot of the people, one guy I talked to in a church, just making small talk, and he knew enough English, and I knew a little bit of Spanish to get by in a little conversation, and, he asked me what I did, here, and I told him I enjoy teaching and that kind of thing, and I really, I enjoy that, and I asked him what he did, and he's an architect, I asked him if he really enjoyed, being an architect, and he said, I really enjoy telling people about Christ, and I thought, wow, that's how sobering, and that was pretty much the attitude of almost any Christian Peruvian I talked to. They had such a passion for Christ that's what they wanted to do. They get saved and they tell people about Christ, and that's what their whole life is wrapped up in. And it was amazing. It really got me thinking the whole trip. I just kept thinking about what am I going to do when I come home? Because, I felt really rejuvenated down there, and all these things were going on in my head, but I didn't want to lose it when I came home. And, I've been home for, 3 weeks now? And I can already start to feel it start to kind of go away, But just the biggest thing I brought home with me was that I live here in Towanda. I was in Peru. I didn't really feel like I'm called to any faraway place. I feel called to Towanda. I live here. I love it here. But it doesn't stop there. I love my God. I love that I'm saved. And while I'm living here, while I'm interacting with people, why am I not sharing what should be at the core of my being? What drives me? What drives me should be Christ, and I should be telling other people about that. And for some reason, I tell people I go to church, maybe I'm a nice guy, maybe people notice that, but it kind of stops there. I don't really go any further than that. I don't tell people, why maybe a little bit different or what has changed my life, and maybe even ask them, ask an unsaved person, what do you think about Christ? What do you know about him? Can I share more about Christ with you? And I don't do that, and the people down in Peru, it's like they don't have a problem doing that at all. How sobering that is. So I guess that's what I brought back with me, and it's a huge challenge, and I really, really hope that God keeps working on me with that. I get more courage to talk to people about that. Another thing was, a lot of people down there were thanking us for being there, thanking me for being there. What a great thing that you're doing coming down to Peru. And so many times I wanted to tell them, man, I should be thanking you. Your passion for Christ is just incredible. And why are you thanking me? I played a little solo with my trumpet, and I wanted to tell them about, some people back here like Dwayne and Kim Smith that are amazing on the trumpet, and what you heard from me was nothing. I had a big long pause there, if you noticed that was so like I didn't pass out at the 8,000 feet altitude while I'm playing. I needed to catch my breath. But them thanking me was just, I wanted to tell them to not thank me. You know, it was, I should really be thanking them. It was an amazing trip, and God really used it. And, you know, I just, my prayer is that he continues to use it to change me. And I guess that's all I've got. You're up.
So just to continue with what Scott said, one thing that I think a lot of the teens have mentioned it is that we've all noticed in Peru is just the friendliness of Peruvians, Christian or non-Christian, just their level of hospitality, their culture. And I didn't notice it thinking, oh man, why can't Americans be like that? Because, I mean, I think cultures are different and that's something that we should celebrate. But one thing that it reminded me of is when I would, you know, talk with other Christian Peruvians and just to see the joy that it was just so evident. They didn't even have to tell you that they were joyful. You could see it in their actions and how they interacted with people. And it was something that hit me because so often we get so caught up in our day-to-day struggles and not that we want to ignore those, but we forget that, you know, we know the joy of Christ. And it should be coming off of us. People should see it and experience it as we interact with them. And it's really easy to lose sight of that and to focus on what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do as a Christian and kind of forget the emotional aspect where, you know, the love of Christ should make us want to show it to others. And that was something that I think every night we came back to the orphanage, that was something that one of the teens brought up, just how evident that was with the people that we had the opportunity to talk to. And as the kids and us went into schools and churches, and especially in the schools, the students thought the teens were like celebrities. Literally, I mean, so many selfies and Facebook pictures. And, you know, and the first time it happened, we all were laughing about it, and we thought, this is weird. We weren't expecting that kind of a reaction. And we got back in the vans and we started talking about it, and you know, the teens started bringing up kind of what we wanted them to, that it's great that they wanted pictures with you and they wanted to friend you on Facebook and all that kind of stuff, but that doesn't matter in the end. That's just a bridge to build a relationship with them for something that's way more important, for sharing the gospel and showing them who Christ is in your life. And the kids did really well with that, especially, you know, like I said, the first school we went to, it was kind of overwhelming, and we talked about it, and as they went into each school, I could really tell that they were trying to focus in on building relationships and making, you know, when they get pictures with people, making it more than just a picture, but actually starting a friendship with that student, and I was really impressed with that. And, you know, one of the third things that we talked about quite a bit back in our devotional times at the end of each day is just different ways that we saw people serving in the church or some of the schools, like the pastor of a local church would be teaching in the school. And so just different ways we saw Peruvians serving and how it's so easy in any culture to see the church, the local church, maybe not fulfilling a need that you think it should. So then what do? Do you sit there and discuss how it's not filling that need, or do you see the need and think, what can I do for that need? And, you know, it was really great to talk with the teens and with Mike just about that. And we talked about that back at Tawanda, just different people that we've noticed who just have such a servant's heart, and they see a need, and they don't ask who's going to do it. They just step up. They ask for help, whatever, but they're focused on serving others first before anything else. And so not only did we see that in Peru, but we related it back to some people here that we've noticed. And I think it was great for the teens to hear some of those names locally and then also see some people in Peru serving and giving of their time. And Scott and I joked around, because we don't have any kids yet, we just have a dog. And so we joked around before the trip that either 10 days with 9 teenagers was going to make us really excited about having kids someday, or it was going to scare us and make us run in the other direction. I'm not sure which one it is yet. but we had a great time with these teens. They're hilarious. They're hard workers. They don't complain. Especially about halfway through the week. That's when, even for us, we get up, we're tired. We don't feel like doing a presentation at a church. We don't feel like giving our testimony. And they all just handled it so well. They just kept their mouth shut and they kept pushing forward. And that spoke a lot to me and to Scott and to Mike. And, you know, we really appreciated them. And there was a lot of serious times where we had deep discussions and stuff, but there was also some pranks and a lot of fun times where we just, you know, got to joke around with them and build a relationship with them. And that was, especially for Scott and I, a huge thing about this trip, because we see these kids every night or every Wednesday night in youth group and a lot of times on Sunday mornings. And it can be hard to build a personal relationship when that's the only time you see them and they're with their friends and there's all this stuff going on. So this really provided a great time to just hang out with them and get to know the kids better. And so we appreciate the parents allowing your kids to go on the trip. I know it's a big step for you to put them in Mike's care and our care, but we appreciate it. We love the opportunity. And thank you to the church for your support for Scott and I. Really, what the church committed to assist with us with financially made it possible for us to go. And we were really amazed when we heard. So it was a great experience, and we just really thank you for your support and your prayers.
It was a great joy and privilege for me to serve with Scott and Rachel as the adults on this team, as well as these nine teenagers who mean the world to me. You know, in 3 John, a verse that comes to mind a lot in the youth ministry, I think it's 3 John 4, says, "Dear children, I have no greater joy than to see or to know that my children are walking in the truth." And that is a verse that teens, as you get older and you start to look beyond what you're doing now to what's going on in others in their lives, maybe you'll feel the same way. But for me, to see you do what you did down there and to see you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy. There's not much more I can say, but it was a real privilege to work and to serve with you. And as I conclude my thoughts from this morning and tonight, I thought, what can I write down to properly express what happened on this trip concerning our teenagers to this church? And I wrote down this: when godly teenagers answer the call to serve others, the future of our church has just become that much more secure. So I praise the Lord for them. I thank you for coming out tonight. And we have a PowerPoint presentation before we have a couple other things. So we can be seated. Carter, you're scaring me. So we're going to finish up here, but they're going to try to put this in a different format. So when we're done with all of our service, we'll try to play it one more time. Hopefully it'll work. But before then, I just wanted to give a couple special thank yous out there. First of all, to the drivers that took us down and the drivers that took us back from the Newark Airport. That's a long drive, and it was early in the morning on the way home. So thank you so much for doing that. You know who you are. We thank you. Several people helped out with us prepare this mime that you saw this morning and earlier. That's a lot of work. There was a few Sundays that I needed to be out, and there was some adults that stepped up and helped to do that. So thank you so much for that. And then Tom Bradford himself, who put together this video, hopefully we'll be able to see it all, but was also part of our training weekend, helped make copies of CDs and DVDs for the mime that we worked on and some other things. He was a huge help in this process, so I'm thankful for him. And then you as a church family, of course, to start a summer's missions program again and do it with Peru, for sure we needed your support, your prayer to do this, your agreement, your consent to do it as a church. So thank you so much for doing that. Then, of course, as the team said, thank you for all the financial support, offering them help with work, sending them cards or emails or text or whatever to encourage them on their way. Thank you for that. And finally, thank you to the parents, who I think you're all here tonight, for letting your teens go. That is a huge step of faith on your part. Most of the teens here have never had siblings go on a big missions trip, let alone across the world. There's a couple that have, but most have not. And you did it in trust and in faith to us as a church and to Scott, Rachel, and I to help take care of them. So thank you for that. Let me just pray, and then we're going to have a baptism service. One of our young men is going to get baptized tonight, and then we'll see if we can do this video. But let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for this service. Thank you that you love us. And thank you so much for the teens that you allowed to participate in making a difference in your name down to in Arequipa. Thank you so much that the church has sent us to do it. And we do pray that in our lives here, and maybe in the lives of many that came tonight, you'd inspire, encourage, and drive us forward in your love to make a difference, to share the gospel, to not be settled in our life just hoping someone else will, but to spread the good news that we believe that Jesus Christ died for us, sinners, and he saved us, he redeemed us. So help us to always share that message. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, and thank you for using us. Thank you for a good night together. In Jesus' name, amen.
With our emphasis on missions, and particularly a teen missions trip, we thought it very appropriate to conclude this evening with a baptism of one of our teens. And we think that is ultimately, according to the Great Commission, we want to go into the world, we want to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things. So we conclude our service this evening with this baptism. We read in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." This is one of many verses where we recognize that baptism is not a means of salvation, but it is obedience once we have been saved. They that gladly received the word, they that had gladly received the gospel message which Peter preached on that day of Pentecost, they that accepted Christ as their Savior, they were the ones who were baptized. And they were added then to the church. And so tonight we baptize Chris Page as he has trusted Christ as his Savior. This is not a means of salvation, but it is obedience to the command to show the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that saves us and faith in him. And so we are glad to conclude our service tonight with this baptism.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chris Page, and I was saved at age 6, and I'm here to get baptized and take my next step of faith with my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Chris, it is with great joy that we baptize you this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mike, are we going to show that video? Or? All right, very good. I'll get out of the way.
Kendra.
Spit at Mike.
Kendra.
Thanks for coming tonight, and we appreciate your support of our teens, not only this group, but all of our teens. Remember to pray for them. They certainly are growing up in a very difficult time. The scriptures tell us that in the last days, perilous times will come. Pray for our teens. Let's stand together and be dismissed. I think it's appropriate that we had quite a rainstorm here. Atiquipa is in the desert. Steve tells me they get about 2 inches of rain a year. And I said, well, Steve, that you know, he said it rains January, February, March. And I said, well, yeah, but a shower pops up once in a while in July, right? He said, never. So we had the rain tonight in place of Atiquipa. Father, we thank you so much for this time together tonight. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for that which you continue to teach each one of us, regardless of whether we're teens or whether we have been many decades in Christ. You continue to teach us and to grow us, and I pray that we'd always be open to the leading of your Spirit in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.